This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Coming to you right after the Phillies salvage a split against the San Francisco Giants. They split the series 2-2 at Citizens Bank Park to keep their home series unbeaten streak alive at 9, I believe, going back to last season. There at Citizens Bank Park, they've been one of the best home teams in baseball over the last couple of years by winning percentage and find a way to split against the Giants when the Phillies, let's face it, did not play their best baseball in this series for sure. But they're now 11-8. They're only a half game behind the Mets in the National League East. Could be tied by the time we wake up on Friday morning with the Mets up there. So things could be worse, but I do have some legitimate concerns after, you know, a rough couple of weeks it's been for the Phils, dating back to their road trip in Atlanta, then in St. Louis, and then coming home against the Giants this week. Definitely some thoughts on the lineup and some things that are definitely, raising my antenna a bit on how I think the Phillies can be, successful this year. So want to share some concerns with the lineup. Definitely we'll go over the pitching staff as well between the bullpen and the starters. And we'll, of course, give a weekend preview of the series against the Marlins at Citizens Bank Park this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So let's get right into it. Want to talk about this lineup a little bit and how they've kind of been struggling the last couple of weeks. With runners in scoring position, it's been well documented how much they have struggled. And they were able to, do a little bit today to sort of remedy that. And over the past couple of nights between Robbie Ray on Wednesday night and today, Thursday, at the day game, you have Jordan Hicks, both guys really struggling to command the strike zone early on. Of course, Jordan Hicks, a converted reliever, Robbie Ray coming off of a major injury. Those guys have, been previously having some control issues over their stuff. And, give the Phils a little credit early on in both of the games. They were able to stay patient and generate some runs, but that patient approach has kind of been something that the fans and the team has preached since the series loss to the Mets last year. And I wonder if the pendulum, if you will, has kind of swung the other way in terms of, are they being, too patient? I know that's tough and you have to give them a little bit of credit for trying to change their approach, but I just have always been in the mindset of, can this Phillies team, with the veterans that they have and the guys who have been in baseball for a long time, Trey, Castellanos, Harper, of course, Schwarber, all these guys, can they change their approach that they've had since they've been in the major leagues? And it's been the reason they've become very good players. And I just didn't know how realistic that was. And look, some guys have really taken that approach to heart. And you started seeing it with Schwarber last year when he starts to hit for average a little bit more after, he hit under 200 in the year 2023, and he comes back last year, changes approach, becomes more of a guy that uses all different fields and doesn't always necessarily have to be a three outcome guy, strikeout, walk, homer, and changes it up a little. And I think Nick Castellanos has done something similar this year to where he's been more patient, although last night you know, Robbie Ray walks every batter essentially in front of him, and he swings at a 2-0 pitch and pops it up. If you're swinging 2-0 and Robbie Ray is allowing all the walks that he did, that ball has got to be, you know, in the second deck. But that was rough to see, and then it eventually ended up costing the Phillies that they only got two runs in that inning as they end up losing to the Giants in a rough one on Wednesday night, 11-4. But getting back to what I was saying about the approach, I just wonder if the Phillies are losing their identity a little bit as hitters. And again, Castellanos having a good year so far. We'll see what happens with him after left the game with a hip flexor strain, I believe, on Thursday. So hopefully he can continue his, you know, game streak. You remember he played 162 last year and has been as durable as they come. And frankly, he's been one of the Phillies' best hitters all year. He's hitting over 300. And probably if the All-Star voting was, you know, I know we're only a month into the season, but if it was today, he'd probably be an outfielder in the All-Star game in the National League. He's been, you know, playing really well this year. But we'll see what happens there. And frankly, this lineup, I don't know, can take a hit like that right now with the way they've struggled. I mean, with the bottom of the order, let's get to it. Boom, you know, gotten a couple clutch hits over the course of that Giants series. Had a had an RBI triple today. Yesterday, or no, it was 2 days ago, had a, you know, nice double on the gap to score a run. But, you know, still swinging early and often, and it just feels like he's sort of in between at the plate right now in terms of his approach, whether to, you know, be passive and work a count. And we understand that the struggles have sort of stemmed from him swinging early in the count and ultimately not really a lot of results coming from that, which is the reason he's been dropped in the order so far, is as low as 8 over the weekend and into the early week here. But was back in the 6th slot over the past couple of days. So we'll see if Boehm can sort of get back that confidence a little bit. And he was somebody who, as opposed to Brandon Marsh, who I'll get to in a second here, it just felt like he was hitting into a lot of bad luck. Finally, that luck seemed to turn his way today when the ball was dropped out there in center field. But I just wonder, I don't wonder about him long term. I think his numbers will get back to where they were similarly last year. But I just wonder with the mentality that he has and sort of the, you know, the, I don't want to say, I don't want to use the word soft, but his mindset has always seemed to been, if he's struggling, you're going to see it. And I just wonder if he continues to struggle into May, into June, like, is he just going to be mentally checked out of things? So that's my worry with Boehm. I think the numbers will come around eventually just because he's hitting the ball hard. He actually is the hardest or highest hard hit rate of his career as of right now, month in the season. I just think he's hitting into some bad luck, but I think he'll be fine. He's just, you know, having some tough luck. And ultimately, he just needs to come in with a positive attitude every day, because that is something I feel like can probably wear on some of the guys in that clubhouse if he continues to sort of have that mentality of, you know, woe is me, and slamming the helmet, throwing the bat, all that type of stuff. So I think things are going to turn around for Alec Boehm pretty soon here. But yeah, definitely was jarring to see him get dropped to the number 8 spot in the lineup this week. But just mentioned Brandon Marsh. He is in the midst of an 0-for-31, has not had a hit since the last game of the National Series, which is just absurd. And, you know, to wrap all that up, he has a little knee injury last night where in center field, the ball took a weird hop. I think it was just spinning off the bat, and he sort of planted his knee a little awkwardly in center field and, you know, looked a little banged up right when it happened, and was pointing to it. And Rob Thompson comes out before the game on Thursday and says that, you know, he's dealing with a knee something. So I wouldn't be totally shocked to see him go on the IL. And frankly, he probably needs just a little mental reset. And Rob Thompson said, and I had an issue with this earlier this week, that they were going to give Brandon Marsh a few days off to sort of clear his head and clear his mind because he had been struggling so much, which I think, you know, that's fine. You give Rojas some run. You might as well, while Brandon Marsh is struggling as much as he is, not that Rojas is really that big of an upgrade, but sure, give Brandon Marsh a little time and just, you know, think things through, mentally recharge, and get him back out there in a few days. But the day after Rob Thompson says that, Brandon Marsh is back in the lineup on, what was it, Tuesday night? Like, I was so confused that why that was the case. And I just think that it's been one of those years for Rob Thompson so far where maybe he hasn't pushed all the right buttons. Rob has pushed seemingly all the right buttons in the past when it comes to the bullpen, when it comes to the lineup, and has had a really good feel in the clubhouse. And I don't think Rob Thompson's job is in any danger per se just because the offense has been struggling. But it does feel like if this team gets off to a slow first 2 months. And I know they're 11-8 right now, but it doesn't feel like they're 11-8. And there have been some clear, obvious concerns. And as I, you know, I'm talking about right now, mainly with the lineup, it feels like Kevin Long is on thin ice, I'll say. And it feels like he's probably going to be the first person to go if there is someone to go and if there is a little change up there. So, yeah, Boehm struggling still and maybe working his way out of it. Marsh, you know, who knows? He's over for his last 31. Just absolutely brutal. Rojas in his place has not done very much. I don't really expect much offensively from Johan Rojas. And he's had a couple defensive lapses as well this season, which, again, for a guy who's up here solely because of his defense, you really have to be a supreme defender out there in center field. And he's still a well above average guy out there. But at the same time, I don't know if the impact he has defensively is really making up for the woes that you see at the plate. So, yeah, he's struggling too. JT Realmuto feels like he's, you know, he had 4 strikeouts last night. Had a couple more today. Just, again, I like JT. He's been a really good player here, but there's no way that I'm giving JT Realmuto a contract extension at any point this year. I would say something different about Kyle Schwarber. I would extend him tomorrow if I could, but I'm going to be very interested to see how this JT situation sort of plays out, because it's obvious that he's not the JT Realmuto of, you know, 2021, 2022, so forth. But they're kind of in a tough spot here because Eduardo Tait, who is raking in single A, by the way, who is their best catching prospect, he's sort of a little bit of a ways away. He's only 18 years old. He's probably going to need at least 2 to 3 more years, or probably 2 years, before he is even considered to be brought up by the big club. So he's a little while away. There aren't really any great catching options in free agency this upcoming offseason. I just wonder what their plan is going to be with JT. Obviously, I think they'll let it ride out into the offseason and then look to sign him as a free agent, but he's really struggling, man, and I just don't know what JT's future really looks like, especially at the plate. And, you know, he's still done a good job defensively. He's thrown a lot of guys out, which he typically does, but yeah, just and they even tried to just keep his bat in the lineup on Wednesday night by catching Marshawn and having him DH, but I don't even know if that was worth it at this point because, like I said, struggling at the plate big time is JT. And I mentioned the Castellanos thing earlier. Like, if he's out for any extended period of time, even if it's just for a few games, like, they're going to have a difficult time sort of filling in that offensive production in the lineup because Kepler's not doing too much. He's hitting balls hard, but it feels like it's right at guys. He's also, like, Boehm, hitting some tough, you know, hard-hit ball luck, but he's not doing much for you right now. Trey Turner, not doing much for you. It feels like he goes like 1 for 5 every night. Like, he had a couple big hits today. He got walked or got hit by 101 mile an hour sinker from Jordan Hicks right in the forearm, but he got picked off trying to steal right after that. So think he is okay there. But aside from Castellanos, Bryce, who's getting hot, by the way, had a couple of homers in this series, and Schwarber, like, you're just not getting much out of that lineup right now. So definitely concerned about the lineup there. And just generally, if this core that comprises the lineup is just sort of, you know, flickering out a bit and is becoming older. And that was a fear that we had going into the season. And obviously, they've had a really good 3-year run here. And I just wonder if that window is sort of closing on this potentially being one of the elite lineups in baseball. And we'll find out as the season goes along. But that is always the worry with an aging core like the one they have. And I think it's part of the reason why John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski have been sort of hesitant to trade some of the younger players that they have coming up in the system, because they understand what happened from 2012 to 2015 and, you know, all the way up to 2022. And they want this core, or they want this baseball team to have a core that can last, you know, the duration of the next decade or so. And if you trade Aiden Miller, if you trade Andrew Painter, if you trade Justin Crawford, you don't have that potentially. And hey, we might see Justin Crawford up here real soon, considering the production that you're seeing from center field. Do I think he's ready? I'm not sure. He is, you know, putting up numbers down in AAA right now in Lehigh Valley. He's hitting, you know, I think above 300 and has an OPS around 750, which is about on par for him. I just don't know if the bat's ready yet, but he's definitely a big league center fielder, just, you know, only 21 years old. So might have a little more developing to do, might not be totally ready to be the Phillies big league center fielder just yet. But frankly, with the production that you're getting out of that group right now. I don't know if they have much of a choice as we get into the summer here. So he's an option. I think Otto Kemp is certainly an option for them because I liked what I saw from him in spring training, but didn't really have the positional versatility to move out to the outfield. But for Lehigh Valley tonight, he is making his first start out there in left field. And again, has just put up some really good numbers in spring training and down in AAA so far this year. So wouldn't be shocked to see maybe they take a chance on Otto Kemp sooner rather than later here and maybe get him out there in the outfield as well. So they have some options down with the Iron Pigs, but again, wouldn't be shocked to see either of those guys coming up for the Phils. So that's enough about the lineup for now. And I think the one guy I didn't mention before I move on here is Bryson Stott, who I think has actually done a decent job at the leadoff spot. I kind of had some pushback against it at first. I'm not the biggest Stott leadoff guy, which, again, I know a lot of people are because, you know, he works an annoying at-bat, which is sort of what they kind of need right now at the top of the lineup. And he's done a good job with it, I think, so far. You know, he's putting at-bats together. He's seen a lot of pitches. And he's definitely not afraid to hit with two strikes, which I appreciate. And if he continues to sort of, you know, be productive out of that spot in terms of working a lot of at-bats, seeing a lot of pitches, and walking a little bit and getting some base hits like he did today, I think we could see this lineup and line up a little more. And I like that Bryce Harper is protected with Kyle Schwarber in the cleanup spot. That is something that I think definitely helps Bryce out a little bit, and definitely isn't a coincidence that he started to heat up a little bit over the course of the last week once they've sort of implemented this new lineup in there. So that's enough out of the lineup. I do like what I'm seeing from the starting pitching staff still, aside from Aaron Nola. And Aaron Nola's struggling right now. There's no doubt about it. Command's not there. And when you throw 90, 91 with your sinker, you've got to be able to locate it perfectly. And he's just leaving the ball up right now. And, you know, it's getting smoked. It's not been a great three games for Aaron Nola. It's the first time he's lost, I believe, or four games, It's the first time he's lost four games in a row in his career. Not just to start his season, but in his career. He's never lost four starts in a row like he has. And again, I just think it's a command issue with him. The velocity, it's not there, but he's never been a pitcher that relies on velocity like that. And I think in order for him to get back to the Aaron Nola that we all expect him to be, and the Aaron Nola they gave that big contract to before last season, he's just got to have command of that fastball. And until he does, he's going to have to rely on the knuckle curve, which again is his best pitch, to sort of get him over and to strike guys out. Because ultimately, once they start laying off, you're going to have to go back to the fastball. And that's sort of where he has been burned as of late. So definitely a little concern with Nola there. It feels like he always sort of works back into a groove. And, you know, I've been watching Aaron Nola since, 2015 now. I never know what you're going to get out of Aaron Nola from a night in, night out basis. So hopefully he can turn this thing around. I think he can, but it's all going to come down to the location of the fastball and if he can continue to, be on the corners with it instead of in the middle of the plate. So definitely need more from Nola, but phenomenal start from Chris Sanchez on Thursday afternoon. Goes 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 12 strikeouts, which is a career high. I mean, his changeup is just absolutely magnificent to watch. And one of the best pitchers in the sport, and also one of the best pitchers in the sport, has been Jesus Luzardo and his slider, which has just been absolutely nasty. It's like more of a turbo slider. It's almost a cutter. It goes so fast. He's throwing that at 89 right now, which has just been really effective on hitters on both sides of the plate. I think he's probably been the Phillies' best starter through, April 18th right now. And I'm excited to watch him again this weekend. I think he's done a lot for them so far. And with him, it's just every time he goes out there, it's almost like watching Joel Embiid to where I'm just saying, stay healthy, don't get hurt, and this guy can be really effective and really good for you. And they gave up a couple of big prospects for him. I think Starlin Cabo was a guy that a lot of people were excited about in the organization and those who know the farm system. But I think that what they're getting out of Jesus Luzardo is exactly what they traded for, a guy who can have a ceiling as a potential number two starter. And in this rotation, when you have a lot of guys who are established in this league, and Chris Sanchez is pitching well, Wheeler struggling a little bit, but I have ultimate faith that Zach Wheeler will be able to bounce back and ultimately be the Zach Wheeler that we all know and love. Jesus Luzardo has been exactly the guy that they need to sort of lengthen out this rotation and be another really effective starter. So great stuff from Jesus Luzardo. Taiwan Walker sort of came back down to earth this week. But the good news is Ranger Suarez threw once again in single at Clearwater this week. Looked really good. So that's a couple of good starts down there under his belt. And I'd expect him back probably around, you know, end of April, start of May. And once they get back him back into the rotation, this really starts to come to form here. And you'd have a lot of confidence in this group. And you know what? Taiwan Walker gave them two very good starts to begin the year, allowing no earned runs, and eventually was going to come back to being the Taiwan Walker that we all know, and I can't say love, but the Taiwan Walker that we all expected coming into the year. So starting rotation, I still have a lot of faith in. This bullpen, on the other hand, starting to worry a little bit, and there have been some guys who have looked good. I mean, Alvarado still looks pretty good on the season. I know gave up the homer to Tyler Fitzgerald, who quickly becoming a Phillies killer, Tyler Fitzgerald, but looked pretty solid over the course of the past week or so. Orion Kerkering, you know, had some command issues, I thought, over the weekend and into the early week here, but had a really good outing on Thursday against the Giants there. Where I start to worry is sort of after that. It just feels like they're an arm short. And when you lose Jeff Hoffman, even though I wasn't the big Carlos Estevez fan, when you lose him, you just lose some quality major league arms. And replacing those isn't always the easiest thing. I think they're putting Jose Ruiz in some really tough spots here. A lot of spots where it probably would have been Kerkering last year. And I just don't know if he's sort of the guy that can fill that role and you can have confidence with. Matt Strom, been pretty good. But at the same time, these guys all get pegged up a notch. And when Romano is the guy they bring in sort of replace those two that you lose, and he's not effective early on in the season, it's like, okay, you feel confident in Alvarado, you feel confident in Strom, you feel confident in Kerkering. You know, that's about it. And they've had a lot of guys who have needed to take down some innings for them, with Nola struggling and Wheeler struggling a little bit here, and Taiwan Walker obviously being Taiwan Walker. Like, I have no faith right now in the Joe Rosses of the world, in the Tanner Banks of the world, and those guys. So I just think that they're a little taxed in the bullpen in terms of depth. It just felt like that depth was a lot better last year, and you had a lot more guys that you could go to in, you know, the sixth inning, in the seventh inning, that you really felt good about. So I think that guys sort of need to have some more defined roles here, and ultimately, until they do, I just worry that, you know, you're going to have to rely on some guys like Joe Ross and Tanner Banks, who I just mentioned as well, to take down some big spots for you. And it just feels like that is a recipe for disaster, frankly, if that's the way you go. And so I think that depth in the bullpen is definitely a little bit of a problem. We'll see around the trade deadline if that becomes something where, you know, Dave Dombrowski becomes active and sort of makes a big move for the first time in his career. Dave Dombrowski hasn't really made even a big bullpen move since, you know, being the Phillies general manager. Last year he trades for Tanner Banks, and I don't really think he's a major league quality arm, if I'm being totally honest with you. And the year before, you know, they traded for Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro, who, you know, Rodolfo Castro is still in the system, and Lorenzen is not with the team anymore. So haven't really gotten a ton out of those trade deadline acquisitions here. So that's how I feel about the bullpen, and kind of how I'm feeling about the team as a whole here. So before we get out, want to give a weekend preview for the Marlins series. Should be a nice weekend down at CBP. Finally getting a little warmer. I mean, cold baseball, you forget, you know, when I played, it was always the worst, but even watching it, like, cold baseball is just, when it's not the postseason, it's just kind of brutal sometimes. Like, I was at the game the other weekend and I was freezing. And I'm excited to finally get to summer here and get some warmer baseball, which we should have this weekend. So that is good. Zach Wheeler will get the chance to bounce back at a really good matchup tomorrow night, or tonight if you're listening, on a Friday down at the ballpark. You got him versus Sandy Alcantara. Should be a really good game. Sandy's had some little inconsistencies here early on in the season and struggled with command a little bit. We'll see if the Phillies can kind of continue their patience that they've been having. And they've had gone against two pitchers with command issues the last couple of nights. So we'll see if they can sort of carry that over and be confident in that approach. So Wheeler versus Sandy Friday. You've got Taiwan Walker back on the hill on Saturday at 105 against Cal Quantrill. Two guys which have struggled so far this season. Cal Quantrill, you know, had some good days early on with the Guardians, but has sort of fallen off a bit, as I think it was with Colorado last year. and is now with the Marlins. I like that Marlins pitching staff a little bit, but in terms of positional players, not much going on down there in Miami. I like Connor Norby, though. He's a guy who I've owned in a couple of fantasy leagues. So, yeah, you've got those two going at it on Saturday, Taiwan versus Cal Quantrill. And to wrap it up, you've got Connor Gillespie going for the Marlins and Jesus on Easter. How about it? How about the irony there? Jesus Luzardo going up against Connor Gillespie on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the series. So excited to see another start from Jesus Luzardo, who, as I mentioned, has looked really good so far early on in his Phillies career. So with that, that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, hopefully the Phillies can win another series this weekend and sort of get the offense back on the right track. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. See ya.